The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 27, 1993 in Singapore. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Texts 36 through 39.
Chedasi Patebhya Sarvibhya Papakrittama Sarvam Jnana Pravenaiva Vrijinam Santarishyasi Yataidansi Samidhognir Vasmasat Kurute Juna Jnanagni Sarvakarmani Vasmasat Kurute Tata Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram nihi vidyate tat swayam yoga sansiddha kalena atmanivindati svatava labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya jnanam labdva param dushantim achirenari gacchati. Translation, Chapter 4, Text 36 to 39. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the right, a mature fruit of all mysticism. And anyone who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. A faithful man who is dedicated to the transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Purport. Such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful person who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by the chanting of by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation of Chapter 4, Text 36 to 39, and the purport of Text 39. These verses, transcendental knowledge is glorified. But by having transcendental knowledge, one can burn away all the bad karma in life, all the reactions to material activities. The fruit of all mysticism And by doing devotional service, one gets this knowledge and attains supreme spiritual peace. Knowledge in Krishna consciousness is very, very special. It is not like the ordinary knowledge that we gain in the material world. It is that very special knowledge because it gives us vision of ourself. We can realize our own spiritual identity. The knowledge is so powerful, like a fire, it burns away all the bad reactions. In India, there are many that were in the past, and there are many brahmanas who are being born in priestly families, are very proud of their learning and education. But in the modern context, we find that they're not so qualified in every case. In this way, 500 or 450 years ago, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet, at that time, after he left the planet, Narottam Das Thakur had returned from Vrindavan and he began his devotional service at Ketori. When we call, Narottam Das Thakur was the crown prince of a kingdom. But he didn't accept the throne. Instead, he said he just wanted to do devotional service. So he was the only heir to the only son of his father, the king. So that meant that then the king's brother, son, became the next candidate for the next to be the king. Most people, if they could be the king, they won't give it up. They think, well, I can be the king. But Narottam Das Thakur, he only wanted to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to serve him. He wasn't interested in being the king. Fortunately, his cousin brother was a very good devotee. He became the king, but he did it in a very devotional attitude, managing everything very much in Krishna consciousness. His name was Santosh Rai. So when Narottam Das Thakur and his friend, godbrother, Ramdas Kaviraj, Ramchandra Kaviraj, at that time, they were together all in this catering. Because they offered him some facility to build him a temple for the deities, and the government supports, it's very good. So since he didn't become the king, at least the government was supporting him, not interfering and giving some facilities like temples and so on and so on. He accepted that as being useful in devotional service. So he and Ramchandra Kaviraj, one day they went down to the Padma River to take a bath. You know this pastime? How they went down, and then on the way they saw two Brahmin boys who were herding some cows, some buffaloes and some goats with some servants. They were like very aristocratic Brahmin young men. With their servants, they are taking goats and buffalo. So it looked like they must be taking to make an offering. Some brahmanas are two categories. There's the Vaishnava, who worship the Lord Vishnu, and they always take vegetarian food. Then there's the non-Vaishnava, who worship some of them worship certain forms of Devi, like Durga, like Kali. And on a certain night, the Amavasya, now it's a full moon, the dark moon night, they offer this animal sacrifice. So Vedas have advised that Kali Yuga animal sacrifice is not recommended. But they're still doing it. It is much better to offer vegetables and fruits and rice and other things to the sacrifice and take that as a Nanda. So the Narottam, the great spiritual master, was Ramchandra Kaviraj, another great spiritual master. But as they were walking, they saw these very intelligent Brahmin boys, nice looking. They said, wouldn't it be nice if they would become devotees of Krishna? And then Ramchandra Kaviraj said, wouldn't it be nice if we could preach to them? Because they're going, obviously they're taking these animals to be sacrificed. And Narottam said, but they probably won't listen to us because we just go out and talk to them, they won't listen. Then Ramchandra Kaviraj, he had an idea. He told him his idea. So all of a sudden they started to have a mock argument. That means one of them took the negative role and one took the positive role. One started saying, well, what's wrong with offering animals as sacrifices? It's in the Vedas, isn't it? And the other one said, well, it might be in the Vedas, but no. People don't know what the Vedas are saying. Those mantras are saying, you had to whisper in the animal's ear, I'm taking your life now, but in the next life, you can kill me. But nobody knows Sanskrit hardly to that extent, so they're not really knowing what all these rituals mean. Actually, it's not good. But anyway, you're just a Vaishnava. What do you know? Brahmanas are greater than Vaishnavas. Brahmanas are the most exalted in the Varnashram, in the Varnas, no doubt. A Brahmana has 12 good qualities, but a Vaishnava is even greater than a Brahmana, or is automatically considered to be a Brahmana plus more. The Vaishnava has 13 qualities, the 12 of the Brahmanas, and one more. Where does it say that in the Vedas? You're just saying it. No, then he quoted so many verses. So like this, by one taking the negative point, the other one was answering all the questions, quoting, speaking very loud, just walking right behind the boys, maybe, you know, like 5 meters behind, 10 meters behind. So they could clearly hear what was being said. The two said, who are those two? They seem very learned. They know so much philosophy. What they're saying sounds very convincing. I wonder if this is Narottam Das Thakur. Could that other one be Ramchandra Kaviraj? I think so. Actually, what they're saying makes a lot of sense. We should surrender to them and take up this path of bhakti yoga, of worshipping for Vishnu. So they went and offered their obeisances to Narottam and Ramchandra Kaviraj. They asked, introduced themselves to be the son of the one smart Brahmana known as Shivananda Bhattacharya. Very famous smart of that place. So then they introduced us as Narottam Das, Ramchandra Kaviraj. And they said, we want to take shelter of you, but you give us spiritual guidance. We feel very much embarrassed because we have all these animals which are meant for the sacrifice. We're going to release them. They told the servants, you go take the animals and let them go. But your father, he'll be very angry. He wants these animals for sacrifice. Listen, you are under our control now. You let go of these animals. You go back and tell our father, we are not coming back now. We are going to stay in the ashram of Narottam Das Thakur and study Krishna consciousness. So, in this way, although previously, you see, Brahmanas would not be initiated by non-Brahmanas. And Narottam was son of a Kshatriya. He was a crown prince, but he gave that up and he became pure Vaishnava. But the Brahmanas, they thought, what is this? A lower caste has initiated a higher caste. like that, there are so many pastimes that came. At the end, the people became convinced in a very unusual way. Two different things happened. One of the things that happened was, after some time, they actually asked for initiation, the two boys, and they took initiation, and they also got Vaishnava names. Then they went back to see their father. When the father saw them, with the shaved up, with the tilak, all dressed as a Vaishnava devotee, Hare Krishna devotee, become very angry. Kuladham! Kuladham! You have ruined our family tradition. You are despicable. How could you come as a devotee of Krishna? This is a great offense to our tradition. And so many other offensive things. When the son started to explain, what he was saying was not correct. Now I have to hear my own sons telling me, my little tots telling me what? I won't listen to you. You won't listen to me, alright, I'm going to bring some pandits, they will explain to you. So he brought some Brahmas and convinced my sons that they're wrong. They went and there was a discussion and the sons convinced the Brahmanas that they were wrong. The Brahmanas, they became Vaishnavas. So the father became more angry. Are you foolish Brahmanas? I'm going to get a big Brahmana. Big Vijay. He has conquered everyone, going around the whole country, defeating. He's a great argumentation, logic, reason. He will defeat these. So then they brought and told the Digvijay, send a message, you should come and defeat his sons. He said, what, I'm going to go and discuss with your son? It's beneath my dignity to speak to just some young guy. You'll get some leading Vaishnava, I'll go and defeat him. Not just ordinary, some of your children. But this is, I'll debate with some children. So then they convinced one that Bhagavan Acharya, Bhagavad Acharya, one Vaishnava, pure devotee who was there. He said, you know, I'll discuss with them, Big Vijay, about Vaishnava. So the Big Vijay came with all of his shastras and thousands of disciples. And Bhagavad Acharya, he came and they had a discussion. And it wasn't very difficult for Bhagavad to convince that, look, if there is a supreme absolute truth, the absolute truth is the origin of everything, janma dasyataha. Since this material world has got quality, the absolute truth must have quality. Otherwise, where does the quality come from? The Vedas are saying this quality is coming from the absolute. Absolute is a field of quality. His quality is transcendental, has no beginning and no end. And this material world is temporary, it has beginning and has end. Having knowledge of the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Knowledge. Having knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God, it is the Supreme Knowledge of the Absolute Truth. That Big Vijay, he never heard Vaishnava philosophy before. He had no way to defend himself. He didn't have any logic. There was so much shastric evidence for whatever was being said by the Vaishnava Acharya. He admitted, I'm defeated. Now, usually before, if someone was defeated, he would accept the other person as his guru. It was a system. But he started a new thing. It's another Kali Yuga. He said, all right, I'll give up being a pandit. I'm giving up all my disciples. And I'm just going to wander around the world as a beggar, because I've been defeated. Now that he didn't accept, he was defeated, he didn't have the answer, but neither did he accept to practice Krishna consciousness. This is the defect in Kali Yuga. Simply by argument, you might defeat someone, but they may not agree to follow. They just become bitter, frustrated, So Lord Chaitanya said that simply by argument, one cannot learn this. One has to actually open the consciousness and listen. Then you get the transcendental knowledge. So here was the person who was defeated. He didn't get the knowledge. Those boys, they had the knowledge. The Vaishnava Acharyas had the knowledge. But this Digvijay, he was prejudiced. He didn't open his consciousness, so he couldn't get the knowledge. Prabhupada told this story how there were two people arguing. And one person was saying it's one, and the other one was saying it's two. It got into so heated argument that the one person started beating, no, it's one, no, it's two. So they're having a big fight. He says, no, you beat me, but it's still it's two. No, I say it's one. Finally, the one man took him over into the water, and put him under the water, lifted up, all right, it's one, he says, it's two. Alright, put him under the water again. The man from under the water. How came the hand? Two. Even he's drowning, he's dying to their death. And this way, sometimes people are very stubborn and they don't listen, they don't learn. They just want to stick with whatever they're doing. But one who is more intelligent, he has to be realistic about things and actually try to understand from the those who know, who have this knowledge. Otherwise he'll meet the same fate as the richest frog in the world. You know that example? You know the example of the richest frog in the world? You know all English? You understand? If anyone doesn't know English, we can do a translation. Because they're asking English, so they don't know that. Everyone knows English? Don't know English? Raise your hand who knows English. You don't? Then raise your hand if you know English. You don't know English? He doesn't know? You see, there was a beautiful pond, lake. Was known as the Frog Lake. It was filled with frogs. It had a big place where every day the king's elephant would come down and be given a bath. You've seen in the Guru Vayu temple in South India, they have 50 elephants. Big elephant place they have. And every day they do different processions, 3, 4, 5 times a day, with a minimum 3 elephants. So, like that, there was a king also used to have elephants in the old days. Temples are still having. Mayapur, we have 2 elephants. Which now in the winter, every Saturday night, they go on procession around the park with the deities on top on the elephants. So then, this elephant used to go every day and bathe in the. He'd be bathed by the mahout, by the caretaker. Then he'd go back. But one day, one very intelligent frog was jumping around out of the water, and he happened to come across a half rupee coin. In those days, half rupee coin was quite a bit of money because it was not so much inflation. You could buy a lot with a half rupee, maybe enough food for the family for some days. Anyway, half rupee, half rupee. He then jumped on top of the half rupee and claimed it. It was mine. Finders, keepers. Now, I have more money than any other frog. And the other frogs, they don't have any money. So he declared, now I am the richest frog in the world. What other frog has money? Have you ever seen a frog with money? They haven't even have a Singapore dollar to their name, or a cent. So he was having half a rupee, so he became very wealthy. And he announced to all the other frogs, so look it, now I am the richest frog in the world. And a few frogs came around. They were quite impressed. Well, look at that. Right? How does it feel to be rich? What are you going to do for us now that you're rich? Don't worry. I won't forget about you. I'm going to do something for the frog nation. I'm going to promote frogism. Let all the frogs in the world be benefited. I'll see every frog gets a fly in their pot. And some frogs said, but we have a really big problem. Understand? The elephant, he comes in and swishes around the water, and all the frogs get scattered here and there. All right. I, the richest frog in the world, do hereby give the decree that from this day forward, no elephants will be allowed in Frog Lake. All the frogs are cheering. It was wonderful. Glories to you. He was feeling very proud. You're taking care of all the problems. But then the elephant started to come with that. Elephant keeper. The other frog said, well, here comes the elephant. What are you going to do? Easy enough to say, no elephants. No, he says, recognize me. Look at, I'm the richest frog in the world. Rock! Stop, elephant! Rock! Elephants don't even stop for dogs, or to speak of frogs. Neither do they understand frog language. Elephant was walking along. Going on. The other frog said, elephant's not stopping. What about your decree? And the richest frog in the world, he jumped and landed on the leg of the frog. Stop! Stop! Don't go any further. The elephant couldn't even feel the frog. The frog fell off the elephant's leg onto the ground. And the next step, elephant's foot went on top of the frog. And the frog got squished. And the elephant didn't even know what happened. Just went walking up, went to the lake. All the other frogs looked around. So much for the richest frog in the world. Let's go back to the lake where we belong. Sometimes the people get some fame or power or some kind of facility. And they forget to compare. You see, what is the elephant? Elephant is like time. Who can stand in the face of time? Recently in China, they're celebrating the Mao Zedong centennial. But 20 years ago, they have changed everything he did. Once he passed away, even he, they thought he was going to live forever. Huh? What? No, any human being, they all get smashed by time. Time is the crusher of everyone. So here this frog, he got a little bit of material accumulation. He thought he was going to change the whole world. But he got smashed by time. Smashed by the elephant. Like that. We see people, they get so much temporary knowledge, but they don't know what is the eternal life, what is the self, what is time. If they had this transcendental knowledge, they can then actually transcend these difficulties. Bodies get crushed by time, but Atma, the self, never dies. Chaitanya requested his followers to go out and tell people this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because by this they will be saved from death, old age, disease, suffering. Because by chanting, a person after this lifetime, they go back to Krishna. They don't come back again to this material world. By chanting and studying the Bhagavad Gita, this is the December month, is the Bhagavad Gita month, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. He's giving this transcendental knowledge so that Arjuna can be saved from the sufferings. Duryodhana was something like that frog, but he didn't want to listen to anybody. He got crushed. But Arjuna, he was very fortunate and he listened to Krishna's advice in the form of the Bhagavad Gita and he achieved all success. He became the emperor of the world, became the most important, one of the most important people in the world. But he never lost his spiritual vision. It's not that Krishna doesn't want his devotees to have wealth or power or fame. He wants them to have these things, but not at the cost of their transcendental knowledge. If someone has transcendental knowledge, and they can use all those things in the proper way, if the material energy is engaged in the service of Krishna, it becomes spiritualized, and it becomes a cause of deliverance of the conditioned soul. But if the material energy is simply used for the sense gratification, how to gratify the senses, it rather creates for us bad karmas. And we become more and more entangled in those karmas. And although in the beginning we are having happiness, in the end we have to suffer for them. Sometimes people, they get married with great enthusiasm, but because of lack of spiritual knowledge and proper Krishna conscious perspective, then the whole thing turns sour and becomes very source of misery. There was that one Atmadeva who wanted to have a son, but couldn't get a son until one sannyasi gave him a blessing. He got the son somehow or another, but then the son turned out to be so horrible. He'd rob from the parents, he'd go out, he'd do all horrible things. And the father was saying that how much happier I was without son. It's worse to have a bad son than no son. So there is a duality of the material world. And so one with transcendental knowledge sees the duality of the material world and knows how to move within the material world and not get entangled. Just like this material world has been described like a net of a spider. And Krishna is like the one who weaves the net. But the spider, does the spider get caught in the web? You ever saw the spider get caught in his own web? Spider doesn't get caught. You seen the flies get caught? What about the baby spiders? Do they get caught? Baby spiders also crawling on the same net, but they don't get caught. So when you become a devotee of Krishna, you get this transcendental knowledge, so that you don't get caught in the net of maya, of illusion, so that you can be protected from that bondage, so that you can achieve unlimited happiness and get the supreme spiritual peace. Before, very rare, few great souls, they would get that knowledge. The Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to get it. He said, let everyone have this. Why should anyone suffer? In the days of democracy now, when everyone should get the equal chance, Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone, let them all get the opportunity to get this supreme peace. Why should it only be the few great priests and kings and so on? Let everyone get the chance. The businessmen, that the workers, that the housewives, that everyone gets a chance, whoever wants. Of course, sometimes the devotees, by giving Bhagavad Gita, by giving this knowledge, they're actually giving the greatest jewel. But if you walk up to someone and you say, here, I want to give you a diamond, they might think he's joking. Nobody's going to give you a big diamond. Big diamond's worth, you know, hundreds of thousands, million dollars. Who's going to give me a diamond? And maybe it's a piece of glass. Maybe it's not a real diamond. People might doubt. The devotees are trying to give this greatest of all gifts. People, they can't even appreciate it. They doubt. How could it be such a good thing? How could somebody be giving it away? How could something be so good? We have a restaurant in St. Louis in America. That restaurant was, in the beginning, they start giving out free food. Nobody was coming. There's free food, it must not be any good. So then they start charging, okay, $1.50 all you can eat. So many people came, a very good deal. Because they can do, if you pay something, then if it's okay, economic, it works out, okay, then it's good. They're free, so not people think, free. Why are they giving out free? Because they think it's good. But if we were to put a price on the chant of the Hare Krishna mantra, anything we put would be an insult. It'd be worth billions of, and more than that. We can't put a price. It's more than anything in the whole material world. So we just had to give out the holy name like that. Although we still do sometimes take donation for prasad. Somehow, devotees, they convince others. Although it should be very easy, you're giving out something so wonderful. And people, being Kali Yuga, it's not as easy as it seems. Somehow or another, people are getting this opportunity by reading the Bhagavad Gita, by associating with devotees, by coming to temple, by getting some transcendental knowledge. Then they can understand, oh, this is very nice, I should chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Any questions?
Maharaj, having transcendental knowledge is very important for spiritual life. So what about listening and intelligent person like myself? You cannot have this transcendental knowledge of dynamics and
you see, one of the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, Vidya Vadu Jivanam, it is the life of transcendental knowledge. It gives a person the capacity to get transcendental knowledge. Just like, say, someone has got no appetite, but there's some Chinese and some Indian medicine you can take. You take that, it will create some fire in the stomach and give you appetite, isn't it? For those who are suffering lack of appetite, you can take some herbs and that will help to get appetite. This chanting increases your ability to digest transcendental knowledge. It gives that appetite, it gives that knowledge even. The knowledge itself starts to come by itself. You are presenting yourself very humbly. You see, that alone is a very good characteristic. To get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he said, whoever is the most unqualified, I will deliver him first. So even the great acharyas who have got all the good qualities, they're very learned, they're sons of princes, they're sons of kings and great prime ministers, but they're completely presenting themselves that I'm the most unqualified person, I have no qualification, I'm most fallen, I should get the mercy first. Because that's the secret to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. As someone sincerely feels, I have no qualification. That is a very good qualification, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He's known as Bhurida. He wants to help the suffering people. It's like, there are many philanthropists. They want to help, who needs the help most, isn't it? So Lord Chaitanya, he wants to give just not ordinary welfare, but he wants to give something which will totally uplift the people, give them spiritual upliftment, which will give them peace of mind, which will make their whole life in all aspects auspicious. So by chanting Hare Krishna, you can get that mercy. Also one time there was a devotee in the Kumbh Mela, 1971. I remember he asked Prabhupada, how is it I could get Krishna consciousness? I have no qualification, I have no education, I have done so many wrong things in my life. I don't see any good quality to me. How is it I could come to Krishna consciousness and get this great good fortune? And Srila Prabhupada said, because I have made your good fortune for you. I have made your good Prabhupada is praying to Krishna to deliver the fallen soul. Sometimes so many devotees are praying to Krishna. So please have mercy on this candidate. Prabhupada's blessings are like that. Guru is also blessing. So sometimes simply by the blessing of Guru and Krishna, one becomes very learned. Even otherwise you don't have any qualification. So there's hope. For all of us hopeless people. You are very fortunate.
One more question.
Yes?
The last verse in Bhagavad Gita, Sandhya says that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is triumphant and victory.
Yes?
So my question is that Krishna, instead of Sanjay, instead of telling to Dhritarashtra that you can be liberated by, spiritual liberator, you can have this eternal, this peaceful life. Instead of that, why did Sanjay was telling that you can get this, all this material opinions like fame, victory, and why didn't he say that you can get eternal bliss, instead of forest,
You see, Sanjaya says that I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. He was appreciating the spiritual import. His hairs were standing on end. He's speaking to Dhritarashtra. How much can Dhritarashtra understand? This is explaining by the mercy of Vyasa, I've heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism. Etad bhuya mahamparam yogam yogeshwarat krishnat. The Lord of all yogic opulence, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. So he knew that Krishna was the supreme. That he's remembering about the wonderful form of Krishna. So then finally he said, Yatya Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatya Pato Dhanodhara Tatra Sriya. There will be, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all the mystics, wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also be Sri, opulence. Opulence, not only material opulence, spiritual opulence. There will be victory. The extraordinary power, morality. This is not the end and all statement, but this is, he's to consider the beginning of the whole Bhagavad Gita began. Starts off about who's going to win. See, Dhritarashtra wants to know what's going to happen. He's blind. So he's asking Sanjaya, what's happening in the battle? Who's going to win? He wants to get indication. And Arjuna went out, and Arjuna said he wasn't going to fight. The whole discussion happened. Now at the end, Arjuna surrendered to Krishna and said, okay, I'll fight. So the concluding word, you have to consider the whole context of Bhagavad Gita. So when he's saying that he's going, wherever there's Krishna, Arjuna, there's all opulence, all power, there's all victory. So indirectly, he's telling Dhritarashtra, there's no hope. Forget it, your son's on the wrong side in that context. But there's so many other indications of the spiritual wonder of the whole Bhagavad Gita. But he also bringing that into focus in the context of the discussion going on with Dhritarashtra. He only wants to know who's going to win. Any other question on this today's discussion? John, any question? Maharaji is in the back there. Any question? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki?
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki?
Jai.